Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everyone. Well, it's Christmas Eve. It's Monday, December 24th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. Got a lot to cover. We always start off on our Mondays with a very exciting guest, of course, John Bailey, the White Plains Citizenet reporter, publisher, and editor. And he's also the Monday co-host. And then that's from 10 to 10:30. And from 10:30 to 11, we're going to speak to Michael Edelman on stuff that relates quite often to the President of the United States, ramifications of his policies, and how it impacts not only domestically but also internationally. So, and then we're going to get involved at 11 o'clock with some items that are taking place here locally with the Yonkers Tribune. There's a lawsuit that's come about, and so on and so forth. So it's really very interesting how it's all shaping up. And it'll, I think you'll find it very exciting. So I can't wait for John Bailey. One of his biggest stories, of course, was about the income that's coming into the coffers, or the expected purchases, and how the tax is translated from it or derived from it. Evidently, we've had 5 months of disappointing taxing ability, and because sales were slower than ever expected. So I'm just hoping that things will work well and that we'll find out how things are working, and that it'll become beneficial. So let me just quickly see if we can get a hold of John Bailey. For some reason or another, he may be stuck, or maybe there's a problem calling us up. You never can tell. Nope, there he is. He's already here. Bear with me a moment as I pick him up. Good morning, John. What a pleasure. And
good morning and happy holiday from White Plains, New York, USA.
Thank you so much. Well, you know, I was taken aback by your most pressing issue, which was that about the budget. And it's going to impact not only Westchester County, but the city of White Plains, and probably the ramifications of the amount of money that people are spending has really gone down. You mentioned that for 5 months it hasn't met expectations.
Right.
What's that going to mean
it was declined. It was at the city, the county sales tax, rather, receipts, which
yeah.
are delivered to the county from the Department of Taxation and Finance, New York State, were increasing at an annual rate of 6% through June for six
yeah.
months. It was very positive, really a great growth
right.
rate. Then in July, it declined a tad down to about 4.7% increase over the previous year. And then
right.
it sank again in August, went up a little, and then went down again, and in November. So basically, it disappeared, all this spending, despite extremely up
blues
of the economy.
You called it the surplus blues.
Yes, surplus has dwindled, and now in November, the budget director of the county said that they expected to get $578 million in sales tax receipts by the end of the year, which was far
uh-huh.
exceeded the pace of even 6%. And
right.
I thought that was very, very bold. And unless the Department of Taxation and Finance sends money where needed instead of based on actual results by their own stats, you know, we're not going to get that. Unless we virtually double what we got in December of last year, this December.
Right.
And, I mean, that's just to be expected.
Yeah.
You know,
so
it's just
very
unreal estimate, and I don't understand where that comes from, that $578 million, unless they were promised that. Like, for example, your city, Yonkers, suddenly got a surprise $70 million. for your school construction and upgrading and building new schools.
Well, that hasn't come through yet. That's still talk. They're just constantly talking about this stuff. It just doesn't go anywhere. I mean, it
right.
might
it's,
happen,
it's
but I don't
good
know. You know, so you know, it's, they always these politicians. They try to placate people with feel good and great stories, and at the end of the day, though, there is no panacea, and it's not happening. And first
yeah.
of all, how can you build three schools with $70 million?
The last time White Plains
one school for
well,
70.
Well, it cost $38 million.
Right. So the
oh, they're
is,
already
it's
short.
Not going, they're already short. And
yeah.
the bottom line is that they haven't planned, and they don't even have a clue what they're building. They don't know how high the school's going to be. They don't know if it's going to have the latest technology so that it can handle the Wi-Fi systems
oh.
and have the computer sets in place. They haven't planned a thing. You know, it's just poppycock. It's BS. It's the biggest bullshit I've ever heard in my life. You know,
right.
I'd like to see them deliver.
Well,
and you know what?
The latest thing to remember
is it's not a Yonkers
yeah.
issue
yeah.
is that the state of New York has always said it would disperse the correct amount of money that they always promised and they never delivered. So
mm-hmm.
and not only is Yonkers short, but so is White Plains, and so is Mount Vernon, and so is every other community in Westchester County, plus every other community in the state. So,
yeah.
you know, and this has been the problem with the argument in Yonkers forever. They always say, well, you know, we don't get our fair share. Well, nobody else gets their fair share either. You know, but
no.
they've been aloof and they've always wanted to be, oh, well, we're special. No, you're not. You're just another city or another village that isn't getting what you were promised, and neither is anybody else. So,
yeah.
I mean, some people are lucking out more than others. And, okay, I don't know why that is, but everyone is stressed, and we've got to get over that.
Everybody is stressed, and what is intriguing to me is that on Friday, the government
yeah.
came out with the retail sales figures, and they say they're up 5%.
Mm-hmm.
We are not up 5% in White Plains. We're not up 5% in the county. I mean, the only way to judge it in the county and in the city of White Plains is the sales tax figures. And they
right.
are down. And when you look at it, since White Plains was only up about a little bit in November, over November of last year,
mm-hmm.
but I have that figure here.
I think it was 1.5% you mentioned
yes.
in your article. 1.2.
Only up 1.5% for the year in the first 5 months of our fiscal
yeah.
year, which we
mm-hmm.
learned from July through
right.
June. Now, what does that mean?
Right.
It means when you take into account inflation, we are lagging about 10% behind what we used to do.
Right.
From 10 years ago.
Well, I guess that brings up the real issue here, isn't it? I know it impresses me that way. I would suspect you would probably agree. Why do we get these rosy pictures? Why do we get these pontifications and they don't come true? How do they even come up with this sort of stuff?
They
just
vary from month to month, week to week, even.
Yeah, they do.
And,
yeah.
I mean, it's like the crazy Dow Jones Industrial Average. And
oh.
I don't think anybody can really depend. Let's face it, the county averages about $40 million a month in sales tax. We're used to,
yeah.
and White Plains averages about $4 million. When you dip below
mm-hmm.
those figures, that means things are not good.
But, you know,
and,
why we make it sound that we're doing very well as a nation. We're not. We're under stress. Some of the numbers were really quite good. The first year with Trump, they're waning now, and we probably will be flat by next year.
Yeah, and you can't blame it just on the
year. No,
you can't blame it on the stock
market. It's about everything else.
Yeah,
we're not making the sales. We're also not trading. The tariff war has really hurt us. But there's some legitimacy, of course, to Trump saying that the Chinese and the Russians are trying to steal our intellectual capacity. And there are reports now all of a sudden everywhere. So they've been lying to us for years. All of a sudden now they know. But they didn't.
Well, you can't deal authoritarian leaderships that are simply out to get you.
Right.
I mean, Russia and China always been our enemies,
right.
and we have a president now who admires this kind of leadership. And
it's
just terrible
that
this
him.
Risen to leadership. And previous to that, was extolled as an icon of business acumen by the business press, by the banks and financial institutions of America. He was definitely the man with the Midas touch. However, now that he doesn't have his publicity machine covering him, or now that he does not have the banks hostage to his debt, we are seeing that this man is no genius.
Everything about him was smoke and mirrors, wasn't it?
Yes, smoke and mirrors. He was a public relations creation.
Right. Of his own.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, what's interesting is that right now, the president has sequestered himself or just ghettoized himself in a nation that is just, I don't know, he's all by himself now. There's no support. Very few people are around him. And even the ones that were around him aren't supporting him or are leaving or he fired. I don't understand why, if someone is so intelligent and so aware, why did he take on these people when they didn't believe in what he believed in? That's what I don't understand. They've been fighting him from tooth and nail from the very beginning. So if he doesn't like Mattis, why did he take Mattis? I don't understand that. John, did we lose you? Let's see. I hope to God not. No, we did lose him for some reason. Okay. All right, so what we're going to try to do is, while we find out, let's see if we can get a hold of him. I hope he didn't run out of fuel, you know, battery juice, or his phone. We'll see if we can get a hold of him. All right, but it is really disconcerting because all of a sudden we find out that, we just find out there's a lot of smoke and mirrors. The president, unfortunately, is off to on his own, and it's really a shame. Whoops. Okay, hold on a second. I lost something here. Just 1 minute.
Yes, sir. I'm back.
Oh, I'm glad.
I'm back.
Don't know what happened.
Typical technological failure here on my side of the world.
Okay, your side of the world. Okay, well,
yeah,
that's
right.
That's not good either. We've been the ones that had the technical problems at our end of the world.
Yes,
but,
right. But anyway, be that as may, I totally agree with you. The fact that Trump lurches from day to day, reverses policy 100%, and doesn't consult anybody who knows anything is troublesome. And not troublesome, it's dangerous. Now, the only thing the U.S. can hope for is if there is some sort of leadership crisis in Russia or China, which will send them into turmoil.
But we're having our own troubles here. You know, what's interesting, the guy Mnuchin, who's supposed to be the finance guy, he evidently had a meeting a day or two ago with the banks. He wanted to make sure that they were fluid, you know, if they had enough liquidity to function.
That's reassuring, isn't it?
Well, not to me.
You know?
So, why? Because I don't care what they say.
Yeah.
How many times, the heads of these, remember last time when we had the debacle with the banks? Nobody said they were in trouble.
No.
Nobody would admit it, even until they were bailed out.
No,
they didn't
absolutely
admit a word.
So, I remember the collapse of the Lehman Brothers.
Exactly. They never owned up that they were in trouble.
No, never did.
So why should we believe these banks?
No, business manufactures its own little reality world.
That's true.
And the leaders of American business have failed America. I'm talking big business, the corporate giants. They have failed America.
Mm-hmm.
Did not go back on their climate changes that they've made over the years, because it is irresponsible to do it.
Well, it just
and that is a failure, morality and leadership, because it's not going to be good for the car companies. Not going to be good for the oil companies. They have to stop dealing with the oil barons from the Middle East and the oil oligarchs of Russia, because they need us more than we need them.
Well,
but
we do need to protect our security, mostly through technology. But our technology is so susceptible to being overwhelmed. The big issue
economic
a couple of years
for corporation not necessarily mean economic deep independence in the future. You have to be economically strong, and you can't do that. You're depending on suppliers who are antagonistic to you. This is like a repeat of
the
oil crisis '70s.
Yeah. Well, one of the big problems is the incursion into our computerized systems that prove to be vulnerable to to all sorts of incursions through the internet, and it can bring our whole backbone down, like our electrical power grid and so many other things. I used to think that was insane, that could happen, but it turns out that a lot of the equipment that we have is questionable. A lot of the equipment that we have is they don't believe in the same things that we do. They're looking to steal our technological advances, and they're going to make believe it's theirs. So what's the point of trading with China? Is it because it's all a little bit cheaper there? So we traded our soul for saving a couple of bucks on a pair of shoes?
Well, once again, this is the business preoccupation with the bottom line. Nike established a shoe empire by using the cheap labor of children.
Yeah.
Outside of this country. It was a disgrace. Just like the Industrial Revolution in Britain was fueled by child labor. And
true.
You only learn that if you're brought to study that. The Industrial Revolution was hailed in the history books history courses I took in high school. And it was only after I grew up I learned the real secret was child labor.
Yeah.
Labor.
I don't know which way we're going to go. I feel somehow adrift because the president is not – I think he finds himself secluded. He's fighting his own fight. He doesn't have support from people who have the discipline and different facets of government.
Insecure.
And He's insecure, which makes the nation insecure.
Yes,
and I don't know. Great. If that's going
he
to
thinks
be
he has
outcome.
All this knowledge, but he is unwilling to educate himself and realize. Listen, I have to learn more about this. That is the mark of a fool. Because if you want to get better at doing anything, you have to work at it, examine your faults, and fix them in some way. And often, incompetency, when it is elevated to leadership, goes amok, blames other people. And this is what we're...
But
he's incompetent.
You know what's really weird? What's weird is that here he was... accepted eventually, not in the beginning, but he was accepted eventually as the leader of the GOP. And yet, at the same time now, he's been abandoned by the GOP, and he's also created a problem for them, because now as we end the midterm, the results, there's going to be a new government with the Democrats moving in, because they won so many seats. All of a sudden, you know, Trump is now asking for $5 billion for a wall. Now he's asking for less. What kind of game is he playing here? I think he's ruined the Republican Party, and they're going to be hurting for a long time.
He always
but
backs
when
down.
When you ruin the Republican Party, or you destroy them and diminish them, you're also ruining the way American government works, and we need a two-party system, evidently, in order to check and balance one another.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe it does vacillate every 2 years or every 4 years, but we've moved along for a very long time, but it looks like we're at a stalemate on this one.
Yes,
so
stalemate government. What happened was, they shut down the government because the senators and the congressmen wanted to go home for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they wanted to do. Nobody has even written that, but that's what the truth is. I mean, there was this hand-wringing about shutting down, that we can't do that, but they did it anyway.
They did it anyway. And yet they're the ones getting paid. They're not going to miss.
It's been actually a nice 2 days with the government working, hasn't it?
Yeah, it seems like it's working all right.
It really has.
Yeah, but then let's not forget though that in New York State, New York State is paying for the Empire, not the Empire State, the Statue of Liberty Park to stay open. I mean, that was done also before. Governor Cuomo.
Yeah, my wife has some friends who were going to Washington this past weekend, and everything they planned on visiting was closed.
Yeah, that's pathetic. It really is pathetic.
This government is pathetic. I mean, both houses. A pox on both the houses.
Yeah.
You know, they are not...
Really...
I mean, where are the Democrats? I mean, when Michael Bloomberg comes out of nowhere at his age to run for president as the best voice that the Democrats can muster, we're in trouble.
Mm.
Mike may not be able to swing it. You know what I mean? But
well,
I mean, really, who is running? Who is, taking up leadership?
Sanders.
Who is forming a platform? Nobody.
Well, that's the thing. We don't plan in advance. They're going to spring these candidates in front of us at a very late date. It may be another half year before we even know who's running.
Well, they have to have somebody.
The president.
But the election is 2 years away. Less than 2 years.
Yeah.
Less
mm-hmm.
than 2 years away. That goes really quickly.
But.
And
somebody has to get
control of this party. I mean, when you're looking, Nancy Pelosi is probably the toughest Democrat you got, but she is very polarizing.
Yeah.
And so she has to adapt that flaw if she is going to run for president, but I don't think so. She's in her mid-70s.
I don't think she's going to run for president.
No, I don't think so either. Hey, what do we got? We got Chuck Schumer? My God.
Yeah, but Chuck Schumer is shrunk into the woodwork. I mean, he just doesn't have the gift of government. He's not a leader, evidently. He's just, I don't know.
Oh, he's a back-off kind of guy.
Yeah.
When the pressure is on,
about these
people.
Yeah,
but this is the whole problem. You need somebody
very annoying,
not fold, who will be tough.
It would be nice if somebody was that we could count on, that could actually be honest with the public. Like, there's no way that there's no way we're going to get money from Mexico to build the wall. And even if we did, the bottom line is it's going to be porous, and we don't have the mechanisms in place. If people come to America, we lose track of them within a day once they leave
immigration service.
Whatever detention, we don't have any system.
The immigration service is run like the post office. It's a bureaucracy.
Yeah, I guess so.
And and that is why everybody complains about the post office.
Yeah.
And
amazing.
But I mean, truly, the immigration has not handled the whole immigration problem well since we started having the influx of the foreign workers in the technology fields. Those who are really intelligent, the corporations want. For their positions, they bring them over here, absolutely no problem. But this is not good either, because it really
because they're bringing them here because they want to pay less. They want to pay these people who have the same education as we have people here, but they would rather choose someone to pay less because for them it's the bottom line.
Absolutely, and they offer the corporations never have. Your best interests at heart. It is always the corporations and the stockholders' best interests, and the stockholders are very responsible for that situation because stockholders buy stock in the companies, and many are large companies themselves that buy stock in big companies.
Right.
And is a stacked deck. It's like the Con Edison shareholders. Who want their dividends no matter what.
Absolutely.
Con Edison shareholders. But, you know, it's a cross your fingers time in America. But there have been worse times. Back in the early 1940s, we were fighting a two-front war in the Pacific and in Germany. People in America listen to their radios every night, hoping, worrying about their sons and daughters. That was a really bad time. Right now,
I know, but
we have an
enemy that's amorphous. Yeah. We don't know who the enemy is. You know, the wars brought America together. You know,
well, they had to, and we did. America has always done what it has had to do, and their leadership has often done things they shouldn't have done, but we survived anyway.
True.
We have to take into account the goodness of people, and it is only when their minds are played with that they kind of make bad decisions.
It's true. Unfortunately, John, we got to get going. I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, you and your family. And I'm just so thrilled and thankful that you've been on the show for I don't know how many years, and you make it what it is, especially kicking off the Mondays.
I like to think we talk about the things that need to be talked about, where the papers talk about things that they cannot control.
Well, that's very true. All right, John, all the best.
And happy holiday, everybody, and give love to your family. Your family needs your support, all members.
Correct. All the best. Thank you so much, John.
Thank you.
Be well, and goodbye. Thank you.
Bye.
How exciting. John Bailey from the White Plains Citizenet Reporter. He's the publisher and the editor. He's the Monday co-host, and we could always count on him to bring us up to snuff and talk about just a lot of issues that are so pertinent to what's going on in the world, and especially on the local scene as well. We're gonna await now just a call from Michael Edelman. He'll be calling us in a moment, and there he is. So we'll say good morning. Good morning, Michael Edelman. How are you, sir?
Good, Hezzy. How are you?
A pleasure to. Well, I always feel better on Monday when I speak to you. And there's so much to talk about. You know, this president just doesn't give up. I mean, he fills us up with all kinds of stuff day in and day out at the end of the week. I mean, he works overtime on the weekend. I don't know
yeah,
how
he does
it.
Watches a lot of TV.
Well, one of the big things, of course, is that there have been a lot of changes in the federal government under the president. On Sunday, he tweeted that the Deputy Secretary of Defense, Patrick Shanahan, is going to be the acting secretary as of the 1st. He dismissed Secretary James Mattis, and I think it was only Ron Paul, the senator, who was thrilled that we're departing from the Middle East, and yet everybody else is all bent out of shape because we've abandoned the Kurds who've helped us fight off the Islamic State, and now people are afraid that after all that effort, they're going to be able to regroup, and the Kurds are going to recede onto the Turkish-Syrian border in order to protect their people. So, what's going on with this president? He's making a mess wherever he seems to go.
Doesn't have a clue about when he had the call with Erdogan this week, he ended the call by saying, okay, it's yours, without any thought at all about how to withdraw, about consulting his allies. John Bolton was totally taken aback, and he's a hawk. The only one who's happy about all of this is Rand Paul, who's a bit of a nut, along with his father, Ron Paul. They're nutty isolationists. And, you know, you can be an isolationist, but you shouldn't be an irresponsible isolationist, which is exactly what Trump was doing. He was getting into a withdrawal because he had a phone call and was trying to spite Erdogan. And in so doing, he was abandoning our Kurdish allies. And Israel, for that matter, which can't possibly be approving of this move. So all of the foreign policy establishment in Washington who understands these issues a lot deeper than he does, because he has no deep understanding of any issue, they're all, you know, upset. But that's what you get when you vote for somebody who has zero experience.
And also the most devastating aspect of it's all when the government was shut down, he wants to blame the Democrats and other people are blaming him. But the point is, what he's done is he's created a mess for the GOP. They end their mid-session where they're going to lose power, and they're not going to be able to resuscitate themselves with the leadership of the president, can they? Are they going to be able to survive?
No. No, the wall shut down is a political. The Wall Street Journal today called the wall a political symbol, which had nothing to do with stopping illegal immigration. Most illegal immigration is the result of people who are here on legal visas, okay, who don't return. That's the bulk of the number of people. So the wall doesn't stop that. The wall doesn't stop anything because it doesn't stop drugs, because it's very easy with a drone to go over the top of the wall or to go under with a tunnel.
Right.
So all he's doing is making good on a promise to his base without any reason to believe that the promise he thinks he's going to keep is going to solve the problem, and it's going to cost $5 billion. So it's a lose-lose for the Republican Party. He can't get it through the Senate.
Well, and then I also heard that he's now trying to negotiate for less than that. But one thing that's interesting, the new acting chief.
Rush Limbaugh and Ann Coulter will say he's spineless.
Yeah.
That's why he did this. They had a deal in place. They had a deal. They had a deal for $1.6 billion in border security, and the Republican Senate signed on to it. All of a sudden, Rush Limbaugh gets on the radio, and Ann Coulter gets on the radio, and they control the president's agenda because he's a creature of media, and he changed his mind.
Yeah. Well, what's interesting is the new acting chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, he said that the president recognizes that he's not going to be able to get this money. He doesn't control any of these situations. And what took so long for anyone to convince the president that it's not going to work? If he's been convinced, who knows?
No, he hasn't been convinced. Mick Mulvaney said was that Mexico wasn't going to directly pay for the wall. But the trade agreement that we renegotiated, which is basically the same trade agreement with a different name, is going to supply the $5 billion to, in effect, compensate the U.S. for the wall. Then why are they going to the taxpayers? Why are they asking taxpayers to pay $5.4 billion if magically the Mexican-Canadian redrawn tariff agreement is going to plug the hole because it's all a bunch of BS? Nothing of this is going to take place. But Trump can't he can't collapse because he's going to take heat from the conservative talk show hosts and the base listens to them. So it's lose-lose for him.
Yeah, amazing. And also there's a problem with people were listening to the president, and every time he said something positive, the stock market went up. If he said something derogatory or less positive, the stock market went down. So we're in a yo-yo situation. I think we lost all the exuberance of the stock market has been dissipated, and we're less than what we started at 2 years ago. And all
That's
of a
right.
sudden, we hear the Treasury Secretary, Steven Mnuchin. He had a meeting over the weekend with the major banks. And they said that they were liquid, and he said, yeah, that's great. How does he know they were liquid? Remember when Lehman went out of business? They never said we own up to the fact that we're not liquid. We found that
why did Mnuchin even bother to call the banks if there's no problem?
Exactly. That's exactly right.
So
I'm just blown away.
He's responsible for the markets today.
Correct. Yeah. Unbelievable. And then all of a sudden the president's also tweeting against the Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell. What's going on with him there?
Well, because he understands that rising interest rates might cause a recession and might be the end of his presidency if there's a recession, but the president shouldn't be threatening to fire Jerome. First of all, he can't.
He can't.
He has no authority to fire the Fed chair. Right. Second of all, if he did that, he would cause every CEO of every major Forbes 500 company to demand his resignation.
Hmm. Wow. And where are we going with respect to investigations with the Mueller, special counsel Mueller? Does that look like it's going to culminate in quite a list of people that are evidently been found out by Mueller? That looks like it's going to be an unbelievable headache for the president. I don't know if he'll survive it.
He's not going to survive it because you're going to find out what his ties with Russia are when Mueller is all finished. He's not even close to finished.
Yeah. Hmm. But I hear there's talk of trying to bring it to a close. But Mueller, is it conceivable at any point that Mueller could be fired by the president? Or is Mueller safe?
Well, he'd have to get – no, the president can't directly fire Mueller. He'd have to get his attorney general to instruct Rod Rosenstein to fire Mueller or to fire Mueller directly, but it's too late for that because when the Democrats take over the House in January, which is only a week away, they're going to be able to subpoena all of the investigation material that Mueller has. So the American people are going to find out just exactly what's going on one way or the other.
Yeah. And it, what are we doing? What are we doing about our well, we don't seem to have a policy. For example, I understand the Chinese and the Russians are to or they've already caused us to lose our security with our technology. They're trying to steal our technological advances. They're getting away with it.
Yeah.
I know, but why aren't we told, like, what's the problem in this country? We can't be told the truth. Why do we have to live a lie for 25 years? This is what I don't understand. I don't get it. I mean,
well,
it's now coming to haunt
us. A lie about what, China? A lie about China stealing technology?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think that was not a secret. That wasn't a secret. People talked about that. They just didn't have a remedy to stop it.
Isn't there a remedy now? They're saying that, you know, the Huawei equipment has got bugs, and we decided to go to buy those and purchase those items. Why? When we didn't feel they were secure. And evidently they're not secure. And evidently the Russians have tried in the past to bring down the electric grid in Ukraine. And they say we're very vulnerable all of a sudden.
We are vulnerable. That's why trade wars and cyber wars are not good for anybody.
Yeah. So it's just exacerbating
That's why the president shouldn't be denying that Russia meddled in the election and that he should be they should be issuing very, very tough sanctions so Russia doesn't consider attacking our electric grid. But he won't do that because somehow he owes the Russians and he owes Putin for whatever they bought from him when he was going broke.
Yeah. Unbelievable. So what's the impetus, for example? America seems to be vacillating on its issue with Israel. They moved the embassy to Jerusalem, and that was fine, and they caused some countries also to move to East Jerusalem, and then the Australians said they would move to West Jerusalem, and yet they say they're not going to move anything until there's a peace agreement between the Palestinians and the Israelis. He created a quagmire there too, didn't he?
Sure he did, because he allowed his son-in-law to tailor American foreign policy to Israel's interests, not to American interests. And any time you do that, you're really giving up your sovereignty and you're giving up the ability to make a decision based on what's best for the United States instead of what's best for the state of Israel. And, you know, we can be an ally with Israel. That doesn't have to mean we rubber stamp everything that the Netanyahu government does. And that's what we've been doing because Jared Kushner is friends with our Ambassador Friedman, and Jared Kushner has known Netanyahu since he was little.
Well, why is it so difficult then for America to have made a policy decision that was good for America? It wouldn't have necessarily been derogatory to Israel. It seems like Israel seems to be doing pretty well.
You have somebody that doesn't understand policy making the decision. Okay? You're going to let me operate on your brain if you have something wrong with your brain? I don't know anything about brain surgery. You're going to let me operate? Okay, so we're letting somebody who knows nothing about government, nothing about policy, and nothing about anything, and who doesn't read his briefing books, make the decision. He's operating on our brain. And he's not a brain surgeon.
Yes, he is. Right. Very well put. Oh, gosh. So what can we expect now? It does seem that he is under siege. He seems to be alone. It's something that you predicted over 2.5 years ago. You said this was going to happen. It's happening now more than ever before. He's he's thrown his hands up in the air. He worked out a deal with Erdogan, and he's selling our jets to Turkey, and Turkey says, don't worry, we'll clean up the mess with the Islamic State.
Uh-huh.
They didn't clean it up on their own before. Why should we trust that they'd clean it up now? If it wasn't for the
because
Kurds, they wouldn't have gotten anywhere.
That's right, and you know that the Turkey doesn't like the Kurds, because the Kurds are trying to establish an independent homeland, and they're going to wind up massacring thousands of people who are Kurds. So what we did is we created a vacuum again in Turkey. You know, Trump is one who created who criticized Obama for leaving Iraq, and now he's done exactly the same thing. So he's getting criticism from Fox and Friends. Believe it or not, Brian Kilmeade, who drew that analogy, that Trump criticized Obama, and now he's doing an Obama withdrawal. It's not playing well with those people who are, you know, real conservatives and understand foreign policy at all.
Well, it's interesting. I heard President Macron from France. He said he's very disappointed in President Trump. And the French have a commitment in the Middle East and in Africa. And Macron says we're going to stay by our commitments to the nations that invited us to help them. And I don't know how that evaded the sensibility of President Trump. When did
he
change his mind? Yeah, maybe that's the real problem.
When you don't understand an issue and you don't take advice from those who do, and you fly by the seat of your pants and you wing it, and you emotionally act to a phone call from a foreign leader who's not particularly a Democrat, small d, he's an authoritarian. When you make a decision based on that phone call, you are really undermining the national security of the United States.
Right. And what about this guy, Fethullah Gulen, who's in Pennsylvania? There was talk that he would be extradited to Turkey. That would be an unbelievable horror if he allowed that to happen, because Gulen is in the United States for many years. He came in with a request for asylum, and he got it. Would we give up these people? I mean, it's unbelievable that we would. I would hope not.
You know, I think it depends on whether Erdogan promised.
Insecure.
Yeah, well, I guess it depends on whether Erdogan promised Trump he could build a hotel in Istanbul.
That's funny, but not really funny, but I understand. Just a little bit too much, a little bit too much to handle.
Well, you're looking at a guy who's in business, who's in the presidency to make money. That's what he's there for. He didn't intend to win the election. He just intended to make money. And now he's stuck. That's why he's going to leave.
Yeah, you had said that.
He's not
going to
run. He won't run. He won't run. He can't win.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing he's going to want is to go out as a loser. He cannot win. And the last thing he wants to do is go out as a loser. So what he's going to do is he's going to resign. Mike Pence will be the president. Pence will pardon Trump and the members of his family. Trump will go back to stealing, which is how he's made his living.
Yeah.
And Sean Hannity and Jeanine Pirro will disappear from Fox News.
Yeah. What I don't understand is, and I know he's really a small-time businessman. Okay, he made billions because he was bailed out quite often in his dealings in the past. But the point is, he's not been a very successful businessman, but he didn't have to answer to anybody before. He was his own boss. He did whatever he wanted, and that was it.
Right.
But here you have a United States government, and there are a lot of pieces that cause that whole thing to function. You've got a Supreme Court. You've got all the people who operate behind the scenes, the FBI and the different members of Congress and the Senate and so on. There are just so many operations everywhere you look. Why did he take on people that he didn't he didn't believe, well, or he believed differently than they. Why did he take them on originally? Why didn't he take people that he wanted? That made no sense. So he undermined himself from the very beginning?
Well, he doesn't have any core beliefs. I don't think he knew what he believed, frankly. He's doing it day by day. It's like a reality television show.
Like,
all right, so he hired responsible people, and then he didn't listen to them. He didn't listen to Kelly.
Yeah.
He didn't listen to McMaster. And he didn't listen to Mattis.
Yeah.
And Mattis slapped them down with his letter of resignation, pointing
yes.
out that their values were not the same, that that Mattis believed in our alliances that have been built over 70 years. He believed in working and not undermining our allies. He believed that Russia and China were a threat and had to be dealt with as adversaries. None of that has anything to do with what Trump believes. And now we don't have any.
Absolutely.
We don't have any adults. We have no adults in the room. We only have people that are going to work for Trump because they don't care about their own reputations.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I was looking at Mnuchin. Here's a wealthy man. I don't know how much he's worth, but the bottom line is, these people are in it for the job and the benefits that they make from it. It doesn't seem that they're involved in serving the public interest. They're not serving the country. They seem to be serving themselves.
They are.
I'm just
blown
away by it.
Wilbur Ross, all
yeah.
of his cabinet, he wanted to drain the swamp. What he did was he put in people that were the swamp. Ryan Zinke,
yeah.
Scott Pruitt, Rob Porter in the White House, Ben Carson, and
yeah.
you have everybody around Trump who has been indicted,
the
convicted,
boss.
And going
yeah.
to jail. And you have people like Jared Kushner, who is in it to increase his real estate brand from New Jersey and get bailed out on 666
yeah.
Fifth Avenue, which was a $1.8 billion deal he should never have done. That's why they're there. Even Steve Mnuchin. Yeah, he's going to be. His name's going to be on the dollar bills and the 10s and the 20s for the rest of time. But he's not
yeah.
there to do a good job. That's not why he's there. It's
no.
the intoxication with proximity to power.
Yeah.
If you have access to the most powerful man in the world, you know, you covet it, and you don't make the
exactly.
you don't make the right decisions. He doesn't have people around him that are willing to tell him no anymore.
Yeah.
The last guy just left.
Yeah, that's the way it is. It was so funny. It was a book about Lincoln, and Lincoln never took that were get along sort of guys. He always looked for people that would be able to stand up to
him. Team of rivals.
And
team of rivals.
Yeah. And it worked.
Doris Goodwin.
And yet it seems that Trump doesn't have that capacity. He doesn't have a thick skin, and he's frightened people to cower before him. So they don't tell him what needs to be done.
Anybody who says I know more about ISIS than the generals, there's something wrong with them. I know
it's
more.
Very true.
There was a clip on. They ran a clip on CNN of Trump saying how he knew more than anybody else on campaign finance, on tax law, on the military, mm-hmm. on just about every subject. I know more than anybody else. I know. That's the problem with this presidency, because bottom line is he doesn't know.
Yeah.
You always have to know what you don't know. Good CEOs know what they don't know, and they surround themselves with people that know stuff that they don't. He
Correct.
Does not have that capability.
It's just amazing. It really is amazing how far we've come, and it seems to have collapsed. There was so much promise to him, and yet it's all collapsed before our eyes. Even this whole thing
yeah.
with Kim Jong-un from Korea, it's fallen
mm-hmm.
apart. It's going nowhere.
Because it was a photo op. It was a photo op.
Yeah.
It wasn't
yeah.
a serious negotiation. It was a shake
no.
your hand, take a picture, I've solved the problem kind of thing. And the problem isn't close to solved. It's nowhere. It may be worse than it was before Trump started, because we've given
yeah.
Kim the opportunity to stand out on the world stage, and we've gotten nothing for it.
It truly is amazing. Well, what do we have to look forward to as we move ahead? Probably just a
One
lot
word.
More drama. With,
chaos. You got chaos. You have chaos to look forward to.
Yeah, that's what I've started to really, it's really sunk into my mind, like pierced my mind that there's no salvation here at all. On every issue, he's just talked a good game, but it's all empty. There's nothing there.
Yep. Nothing there at all.
I thought in time it would all manage somehow, but he just doesn't know.
Well, you
he
were conned,
know,
like the rest of America. He's a con artist. He's a con artist and a charlatan.
I don't know. So we're going to learn from week to week how bad it's going to get. Well, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas, a Happy
Thank
New
you.
Year,
Same.
And
you
for you and your family. And thanks for doing the show. I don't think we could all survive without the input of Michael Edelman Esquire. it's unique, you know. That's what's so interesting too. Your perspective has been trailblazing because everybody wanted to believe that Donald Trump was like the new panacea. He was going to solve everything, and evidently, whatever he tried to solve has fallen apart.
Yeah, well,
and
everybody
I don't know how
doesn't
people
have
still support him.
Well, he's losing support daily, believe me. There are only 18% of Republicans say they would vote to reelect, of millionaires,
wow.
of wealthy Republicans. 18% would vote to reelect him. People in this country that have a little bit of education, a little bit of understanding of what's going on, will not vote again. If they did vote for him the last time, they won't make the same mistake twice. Fool me once.
Wow.
Right? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me
Absolutely.
Twice, shame on me. So.
And what's he doing also with Venezuela and with Cuba?
I have no idea.
I don't think he has an idea either.
No, he doesn't have an idea, okay? He doesn't have any idea. And right now, he's isolated himself in the White House. He watches television multiple hours a day. He believes he's been totally abandoned by everybody. And he's pulled the wagons in a circle. And, Melania said she's concerned for his health. He looks to me like he's going to have a stroke. And, he's overweight. He eats cheeseburgers and French fries, daily, and red meat and Diet Cokes all day long. And he's basically a shadow of a president. And fact of the matter is, this you can't run a government. You can't be president like that. You watch the Republicans. That when they understand that he's a liability and no longer an asset, they're going to jump ship, just like they did with Nixon. Barry Goldwater marched down to the White House and said, you do not have the votes in the Senate to avoid conviction on the impeachment charges, and he resigned the next day. And basically, the same thing is going to happen to Donald Trump. It may take a little longer, but he will not be the Republican candidate for president in 2020, and he will not finish his term in office, and I told you that 2 years ago.
Yes, you did. Is it possible for America to survive another impeachment or a departure by the mess with Nixon? Well, I know we survived it, but it hurt.
Yeah, and this is going to hurt too. It's hurting right now. How do you like the stock? How do you like the stock market today? You like that? It's the worst December since 1931.
Right.
1931.
Usually there's even a Christmas jump. You know, there's Santa Claus miracle
rally.
Or whatever.
Yeah, there's rally. You know what there is this year? There's Bupkis.
Yeah, exactly. Unbelievable. Well, it's not going to change much by next week, that's for sure. No corrective action.
Next week the subpoenas go out, all right? January 2nd. The subpoenas go out from the Intelligence and Judiciary Committees. All right, that's when stuff starts happening.
Yeah. It's also just almost unfathomable is that Trump, I guess he, because he secluded himself, didn't even realize that deadlines were looming. How far did he think he would be able to take this? He thought he would be able to last 4 years with this game, with this sham?
It's a sham. He's the great. Well, he was supposed to be the great negotiator. He had a deal last week. I'm telling you, it's the Fox News people. It's Limbaugh and all of those people that are on there screaming that he's selling everybody out, that there is no wall, that he's breaking a promise, and that scared him more than actually the deal he had in place. So the president's supposed to say, I'm not going to listen to other people. I'm the president. This is the best thing for the country. And he didn't do it. He did the best thing for Donald Trump.
Whoa. Well, that's a great way to end the segment, Mr. Edelman. What a pleasure. And all the best.
Happy New Year.
So
I'll speak to you next week. You're welcome.
All the best. Happy New Year to you and the family. Bye. Oh, my God. It's like it's so important. Thank God that Michael Edelman's there to share all this stuff with us, because it's just frightening, absolutely frightening what the nation is going through. And it's not gonna look too good at the end of the day, which is very, very disconcerting. Well, let me quickly go over to our studio screen. And what we'll do is we'll play a commercial for you, and then we'll be right back.
The Yonkers Tribune, named Home of the Acid-Tongued Bloggers by the New York Times, is a multifaceted news organization dedicated to keeping the citizens of Yonkers and Westchester informed via the Internet and radio. Hezzy Aris is the tireless publisher, editor, and radio host of the Yonkers Tribune. He is a balding, bearded gnome equipped with a digital camera and a steno pad at all times. Hezzy is frequently spotted in local meetings, translating the events into a Baroque prose style with an infusion of well-mannered outrage. The Yonkers Tribune attracts an informed, well-educated, affluent audience who hungers to know more about politics in all its permutations and nuances. Politics, says Hezzy, is our forte. Advertising inquiries are always welcome. Please call Hezzy Aris at 914-562-0834 or send an email to ehezi@hush.com.
Welcome back. What we're going to do is we're going to play one more commercial for you, and then we're going to get into the lawsuit as that was filed at the Yonkers Tribune. So we'll be discussing that by my reading some opinion pieces that were presented. One was on Facebook and the other was on another website. So in case you want to get in touch with the Yonkers Tribune, you can give us a call at 347-415-4326. That's the office, the text number, the cell number, 347-415-4326. And let me just play that other commercial for you. And that's with regard to Phantom playing on the Westchester Broadway Theater stage, and then we'll be back.
Now appearing at the Westchester Broadway Theater, it's the triumphant return of the musical thriller Phantom by Tony Award winners Mari Esten and Arthur Coppin. Set to the beautiful and soaring music of Mari Esten, this classic story of romance and intrigue has broken attendance records everywhere. The stage effects are remarkable, as well as the sets and costumes, and our new production will introduce two brilliant new stars, Matthew Billman as Eric the Phantom, and Kayleen Seidel as the beautiful ingenue Christine. Critics who have seen this exquisite masterpiece have exclaimed, there may be other musicals out there that tell the story of the Phantom of the Opera, but none as good as this. And before the show, you'll enjoy a served dinner with a choice of six entrees, and all for one low price. Order tickets online at BroadwayTheater.com or call 914-592-2222 for the triumphant return of the musical thriller Phantom, now on stage at the Westchester Broadway Theater.
Welcome back. This is Westchester on the Level. My name is Hezzy Aris. Well, there was an article written in Facebook called Perjurers Hiding Behind Gold Shields, written by C.J. Vegas. It's an op-ed piece, and this was on the 22nd of December that I saw it. Bear with me a second. I don't know what I just did. Okay, here we are. And so he writes, freshly out of Facebook lockup and on to business. This is basically a side chapter of my a derogatory term behind gold shields. People hide behind gold shields. I just heard that Bozo the Clown, Yonkers Police Chief John Mueller, has filed a lawsuit against Hezzy Arris, that's me, editor-at-large of the Yonkers Tribune, and the Yonkers Tribune itself for articles written. Now, those not familiar with the Yonkers Tribune, it's basically an online news outlet for news relating to the mayor and all the civil service jobs in Yonkers. It's a forum where the public is free to comment on articles and remain anonymous doing so, and basically say whatever they want in approval or disapproval of that article. So, with this being said, the Circus Act I mentioned above, John Mueller, must have really been offended over the years by some of the articles written on the Yonkers Tribune and has now filed a lawsuit against the above-mentioned parties. Hey, John, maybe you should not have abused your powers over the years and the articles would not have been written. Someone sent an email to Hezzy at the Yonkers Tribune and wrote that he had information about an alleged bar fight that took place recently at Fogarty's in Bronxville, and was willing to meet Hezzy with information and photos, claiming he was there when it happened. When Hezzy went to meet this person last Friday, not this Friday, but the Friday before, at an arranged location, a woman, who I will not name because it's not necessary, CJ writes, approached Hezzy and handed him paper saying, "Here's a gift from John. You've been served." "Are you effing serious, John? You got no backbone at all? You can't be that soft that you actually filed a lawsuit." I forgot now what SMH meant again. A lawsuit. That you actually filed a lawsuit. SMH would stand for shaking my head. Now, if I had to guess, you got together with Fat Man, meaning Keith Olsen, he's the PBA president, and that other clown in your circus, Andy Quinn, he's the lawyer for the PBA. A complete a-hole criminal lawyer now chasing ambulances, I guess, shaking my head. So you three got together and put your three best efforts for brains together and came up with a plan to file a lawsuit for what? Slander? Punitive damages? It's called freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Truth hurts, huh? Where were you hurt by the awful words on there? In Jokers. Good God, he says, as far as the Yonkers Tribune goes, I've been praised and ripped apart by comments on there, and never have I responded with one single comment back on the website. Why? Because I don't give a rat's ass. If someone doesn't like me and bashes me, or they like and praise me there, it just does not matter. I don't lose a second of sleep over it either. Actually, since I am spitting truth, I do laugh at a lot of the shit I have read there because some of it is hilarious. I post on here, meaning in Facebook, where my name is on it. You know who I am, and I am owning it. If you have a problem with what I write, come see me. It's that simple. No lawsuits needed. We handle it the old-fashioned way, face-to-face, like real men. I see nothing has changed since I retired from Yonkers because it's a derogatory term, some people are still hiding behind their shields. Guess they are never going to retire, or the best brains that they can come up with in their heads don't allow them to realize that they will be civilians again one day. And then he writes, laughing my ass off. Once again, this is something that I would say straight to eat all their faces. So all those who disagree and feel I'm out of line and will lose sleep over this, feel free to come see me in person. We'll address it. Oh, in closing, I may have to do the official derogatory hiding, I have to do an official I guess, dressing down of those hiding behind gold shields on this joker, J.M., which is John Mueller, the chief. Very, very intriguing, to say the least. And then there's one other article. This was written in the Yonkers Newswire by Brian Harrod. So Brian Harrod writes, the defamation of character or free speech, by Brian Harrod. So he writes, legal facts. In the context of defamation actions, libel and slander, a public official cannot win a lawsuit on incorrect, harmful statements unless there is proof that the publisher acted with actual malice by knowing the falsity. It was a setup. Someone sent an email to Hezyaris at the Yonkers Tribune and wrote that he had information about an alleged bar fight that took place recently at Fogarty's in Bronxville and was willing to meet Hezyaris with information and photos, claiming he was there when it happened. Legal papers. When Hezyaris went to meet this person last Friday at an arranged location, a woman, who I will not name because it's not necessary, approached Hezyaris and handed him papers saying, here's a gift from John. You've been served. Yonkers Tribune. Perjurers hiding behind gold shields by C.J. Vegas. Yonkers. Freshly out of Facebook lockup and on to business. I just heard that Bozo the Clown, Yonkers police chief, hashtag John Mueller, has filed a lawsuit against Hezyaris, editor-at-large of the Yonkers Tribune and the Yonkers Tribune itself for articles written. Now, those not familiar with the Yonkers Tribune, it's basically an online news outlet for news. Without knowing all of the facts, this appears to be a SLAPP, S-L-A-P-P, lawsuit brought by Yonkers Police Department Chief, hashtag John Mueller, against Yonkers Tribune publisher, hashtag Hezyaris. A short but strategic lawsuit against public participation is the definition of SLAPP. It's a lawsuit that is intended to censor, intimidate, and silence critics by burdening them with the cost of a legal defense until they abandon their criticism or opposition. SLAPPs have become an all-too-common tool for intimidating and silencing critics. Such lawsuits have been made illegal in many jurisdictions on the grounds that they impede freedom of speech. In the typical SLAPP, the plaintiff normally expects to win the lawsuit. The plaintiff's goals are accomplished if the defendant succumbs to fear, intimidation, mounting legal costs, or simple exhaustion and abandons the criticism. When a plaintiff brings a SLAPP lawsuit against someone attempting to exercise their right, The goal of plaintiffs in these cases is not necessarily to actually win the lawsuit, but to drag their critics to court and bury them under a pile of attorney's fees and embarrassment until they cry uncle and agree to be quiet. SLAPPs aren't just random, meritless lawsuits. They are lawsuits that directly attack First Amendment rights. A SLAPP may also intimidate others from participating in the debate. A SLAPP is often preceded by a legal threat. Under the First Amendment, there is no such thing as a false idea. The First Amendment requires that we protect some falsehood in order to protect speech that matters. The courts have ruled that the First Amendment protects the publication of all statements, even false ones, about the conduct of public officials, except when statements are made with actual malice, with knowledge that they are false. The United States Supreme Court has virtually any attempt to squash criticism of public officials, even if false, as antithetical to the, quote, central meaning of the First Amendment. In New York, state courts have ruled all statements of opinion are protected as long as they do not allege illegal conduct. You may dislike or disagree with the Yonkers Tribune, but its voice should not be silenced in Yonkers. We want Yonkers' many diverse voices speaking out on a public issue or controversy. Average citizens have been slapped for actions such as posting a blog entry, posting a comment on another person's blog, writing a letter to the editor of a newspaper, testifying before the legislature, reporting official misconduct, or creating a petition. Average citizens have been slapped for actions such as posting a blog entry, posting a comment on another person's blog, writing a letter to the editor of a newspaper, testifying before the legislature, reporting official misconduct, or circulating a petition. Lawsuits targeting individuals who post anonymously on the internet, usually because their posted messages criticize the actions of public figures or corporations, are sometimes called cyber slaps. Like a regular slap, a cyber slap aimed at creating freedom, the free freedom of speech, by intimidating critics with the prospect of defending an artificial lawsuit. But it's also often said and often aimed at uncovering the identity of the anonymous critic. Indeed, anonymous debate was at the center of the revolutionary politics that led to American independence. The United States continued on the Bill of Rights that was left stranded there. And so that's not moved over quite often. So we need to get that in place. And bear with me a second here. It says, Harrod writes, indeed, anonymous debate was at the center of the revolutionary politics that led to American independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, which enshrined the press freedoms that continue to protect anonymous speech today. In fact, some of the most prominent founding fathers regularly used the shield of pseudonyms, including Thomas Paine, John Dickinson, Alexander Hamilton, Arthur Lee, John Jay, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, and James Madison. They would criticize anonymous speech, must also recognize that anonymity has been an essential and often productive feature of American democratic politics since its beginning. So it's the website. We're going to someplace local, and I want to thank you for being with us today. So let me just get to the story. So bear with me one more second, and I'm going to just see what else is there. Story here. All right, you could read all of this. It's on the website. It's theyonkerstribune.com, and you'll be able to appreciate it, I think, more than ever before. Bear with me a moment. Okay. Bear with me a moment here. I'm just not sure what this is. Okay. Not exactly sure what this means, so I'm going to just move on. And I guess those are the ones that the issues I wanted to talk to you about today. And then just so you know what's happening tomorrow, we're going to have Robert Keston. He ran for Senate upstate and Senate District 40. And we're going to talk to him about a lot of issues. And then we're going to speak at 10:30 with with Delphi Musa. He is the publisher and editor of Yonkers Insider. So we'll have a lot to talk about with him, and we'll go from there. So again, I want to thank you for being with us today, and hope you'll join us tomorrow as well. Take care and goodbye.